Blog Talk Radio.
You got a diamond, you got nine men, you got a hat and a bat, and that's not all. You got the bleachers, you got them from spring till fall. You got a dog and a drink and an umpire's call. What do you want? Let's play ball.
Oh, let's play ball, ladies and gentlemen. Opening day in the MLB. My Blue Jays layeth the smacketh down on the Evil Empire in New York. 6-1 this afternoon over the Yanks. Pretty exciting for me. And this is the Hockey Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Crowther. My co-host, Chris Shannon. Oh, folks, listen to that. Let's play ball. Oh, that's just beautiful. My co-host Chris Shannon is unable to join us today. He's feeling a little under the weather, despite the fact he lives in perfect weather. So life must be tough for Chris. But we're going to do the show today with no Chris. Our guest today is Todd Cordell from Hockey Buzz, former writer for the Hockey Guys. Todd's going to come on to talk a little bit of New Jersey Devils. And a little bit of junior hockey right now. The first round of the Ontario Hockey League playoffs is finally complete. Only two series, went to six games. And several of the teams you would expect to move on, your Londons, your Eries, your Barrie, or North Bay, Sault Ste. Marie. Yeah, it's typical stuff. So we're going to have Todd come on later. Right now, let's we're going to look at some of the games upcoming tonight. The two big ones out of the West that I'm really excited for, and I think most observers will be as well, is Winnipeg and Minnesota, as well as the Kings and the Canucks. Now, both L.A. and Winnipeg have four games left in the season, 92 points. The Kings currently, though, hold on to the second wild card position as they have more wins in regulation and overtime. The Wild can clinch the first wild card spot tonight with a win in regulation and an LA Kings loss. It's a pretty big night in terms of the standings. It's big because Winnipeg's about to play another game without Dustin Byfuglien. We're going to see how they're reacting without him. Ben Chiarot is back tonight for the Jets, missed 17 games with a hand injury. He led the team in Corsi with 54.5, or led their blue line in Corsi. That'll be a key addition for them, especially with the loss of Big Buff. The Jets got to pull it out tonight. If there was ever going to be a night where you can gain ground in these standings, especially when you consider Minnesota is holding the first wild card spot, you got to get your W's. And this is going to be a test for them. I mean, I don't think I'm alone when I speak. I don't think I'm alone when I say we all want Winnipeg to make the playoffs. I think the league, opposing fans around the league, everyone wants to see them. But they're not going to make it if they can't gain some ground in these last few games. And it's tough. What did I say on the show weeks ago? Don't count out the LA Kings. I told Chris. I said, this team, every single year, when you think they're out of it, when you think they're not going to do anything, they somehow find a way. And they're the poster child of just getting into the dance. Because we've all seen this movie before, where we consider the Kings to be down and out, and then before you know it, they're in the conference finals. Two cups in the last 3 years isn't an accident. So we're going to see how that goes for them. I like the Kings, man. I've said it. I like the Kings. And as much as I'd like to see Winnipeg in the playoffs, unless they can gain some ground tonight, unless they can get some help from the Canucks, they're not going to make it. The Kings are 1 point behind the Calgary Flames for third in the Pacific. They also have a game in hand on the Flames. Meanwhile, the Canucks can clinch a playoff spot tonight with a win in regulation and a Jets regulation loss. Canucks are good, man. We were originally going to have a guest to talk about the Vancouver Canucks, but unfortunately, he or she wasn't able to make it today. So hopefully we can schedule that for Thursday. Hopefully Chris will be back Thursday, too. Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, we don't need Chris. I'm sure we've had enough Habs talk for 1 year. Now, the Kings are an abysmal 15-16-7 on the road this year as they head into Vancouver. I thought these guys were road warriors. What happened to the team that would go in any opposing rink barn and punch them in the mouth? 15-16-7? They haven't really done themselves any favors when it comes to making the playoffs. I mean, I've said that they're going to make the playoffs, but this hasn't been a great year for the Kings. One thing about this year that I think is starting to open some eyes is the idea of Jonathan Quick actually being elite. And this might be the first season that people have really understood that maybe he's not elite. Maybe those years of saying Jonathan Quick's in the conversation with Carey Price and Tuukka Rask is a little premature. I think people looked at that 2011-2012 season where he was putting up some ridiculous numbers, 929 save percentage, a goal against average under two. I think people saw that and just assumed that he is an elite goaltender, along with the Conn Smythe. That doesn't hurt either. But if you look at Quick's numbers a little closer, I mean, he's good. He's a good goaltender, but he's not elite. He's got a career 915 save percentage. I remember the big thing last year when LA was going through the playoffs, and we were all witness to this against when LA and Chicago faced each other in the conference finals. Yeah, Jonathan Quick let in a lot of goals. And as much as we criticize Corey Crawford from Chicago, and as much as we've cited him as the modern Chris Osgood, I didn't see Quick standing on his end either. Jonathan Quick's a good goalie, but I wouldn't call him elite. And I think that this season is an example of why. I think people put too many eggs in one basket after the magnificent Kings run of 2012. And then all of a sudden thought that he was a superstar. But I digress. Joining us on the line right now is a man who is very handsome, very funny, has a great sense of humor. Oh, and he writes about hockey for Hockey Buzz. His name's Todd Cordell. Todd, what's up, man?
Not too much. Just watching a little baseball. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are your Mets doing today?
They're not losing in the second inning, so I guess that's a positive.
Yeah, you got to take the cup half full. Who are they playing?
They're playing the Nats.
Oh, Scherzer darting for the Nats?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah, he's mowing them down pretty good right now.
I was pretty happy with my Bluebirds today.
Yeah, so was I.
You will confirm with me, too. Like, I really think if Blue Jays were a winner, they would have a stranglehold on the city that Raptors could never get and the Leafs haven't been able to get. I think you'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, it'd be nuts. Baseball is huge.
Love it.
And yeah, and there's so many games to go to. The city would be buzzing for months.
Be something to do. So I'll take
it. Yeah, exactly. Give you something to do in the summer.
Except talk about free agency and hockey. Speaking of hockey, we should I guess we should probably talk about it, maybe. Chris,
I guess so.
Oh my God, I just called you Chris. Oh man, put an asterisk on me right there. All right, Todd, you are a keen observer of the Ontario Hockey League. The first round of the OHL playoffs has just ended. Just some general thoughts on the first round and who stood out for you?
Well, I don't think there were really any surprises. I picked all eight series correct in the first round. A lot of people thought maybe Kitchener would give London a good go, or Owen Sound beat Guelph, but for the most part, all the favorites won. Vince Dunn was a guy who stood out for me. Niagara Ice Dogs defenseman. He's draft eligible. He scored 6 goals in the first series. Had a 4-goal game, I think, game one. And he's a guy who's really come on in the second half of the year, so I'm going to be interested to see where he goes come June.
Your hometown Barry Colts, them and the North Battalion both swept in their first round. And Colts overager Joseph Blandisi had 4 goals and 9 points in the first series. How do you think that series will fare, and who do you see coming out on top?
Oh, I think that's the toughest second-round series to predict. It's kind of like a battle of two completely different styles. North Bay plays a very structured system, kind of like the Devils in the past, whereas Barry's a team that likes to, you know, go run and gun, blow the game open, and, you know, just outscore you. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see which style gets the better of it in this one. Last year, North Bay won the series, but right now, I lean towards Barry, but I think it's going to be really close. I have Barry in 7.
Yeah, Barry, they've still actually been a good team, even with the loss of Aaron Ekblad this year. I enjoyed watching Barry this year. London Knights also won their first round series against the Kitchener Rangers, always a classic rivalry in the Ontario Hockey League. And they're going to face the Erie Otters. This is pretty much the dream series for Sportsnet, as we both know. And it seems like there's going to be a lot of eyes on this one. How do you see this playing out? And do you think the Knights have a shot at taking down McDavid and company?
Do they have a shot? Absolutely. I have Erie winning the series, but I actually think it's going to be a long series. Erie won against Sarnia 4-1 in the first round, but if you actually, you know, checked into the games, there were a few times where they're down 3-0, 4-0, and they were down in the third period, and they had to come back and come and win. And that was against a Sarnia team that was, you know, missing one of their best players in Jacob Chychrun, who's draft eligible for next year. So London has more firepower than Sarnia. They have a more balanced roster, and obviously they have more experience from all those Memorial Cup runs and such. So I think it's going to be a good series. I have it going 7, but I have Erie taking it in the end.
You, we're going to switch from the OHL to the NHL, and you write on the, you focus on the Devils for Hockey Buzz, and it's been a tough year for the New Jersey Devils. Their point leader, Adam Henrique, has 41 points, and Mike Camilleri is right behind him with 40. We'll start off with Camilleri. Has this been a disappointing season for the free agent acquisition?
I don't think so. He has, if you look at the numbers, he has almost 30 goals. They brought him in to score goals, and that's what he's done. I think his lower point totals is more of a product of not really having any offensive help around him. He pretty much has to, you know, do it himself, or they're not going to score. So I think if they can bring in some help this summer, you'll see his point totals go up in the next year. But I think he's been one of the few bright spots, actually. It's just been a really rough year for the Devils.
It has been a tough year. A fall from grace since their 2012 appearance against the LA Kings. One player that's really stood out for the Devils this year, though, is Corey Schneider. And despite a record of 26-29-9, he has a .926 save percentage, a goals against average under 2.3. And like I said, has really been the main bright spot for the Devils this year. How has he looked in your eyes, and how do you see his future with the Devils standing?
I think he's been incredible. I remember last summer a lot of people had the Devils question mark going into the season as goaltending because they said Schneider's only ever started, 45 games. How can you handle a bigger workload? But throughout his 4 or 5 year career prior, if you combine all the starts, he was actually one of the league's best goaltenders in terms of save percentage. So I'm not too surprised to see what he's done this year, but it really has been incredible. I believe War on Ice charts high danger shots and save percentage for goaltenders when they're facing high danger shots, which is around the slot. And I believe Corey Schneider is number one in that aspect. So he's not just facing a lot of shots, but he's facing high-quality shots, and he's still getting it done.
I've always been a proponent of Schneider, and I'm glad you mentioned how a lot of people were questioning how he would handle a large workload. And I've never understood that with goalies. I've never understood why people will say that maybe between 50 and 60 games might be too much for some goaltenders when you think about it, some players play every single night. And for half the game, the puck's not even in your end. Now, obviously, there's a lot more that goes into being a goaltender, but I've never understood why people think that goalies get too much of a workload. I mean, 60 games seems more than enough for a guy like Corey Schneider. And not to mention, he's proven everyone right. He's showing that the Devils made a smart decision in trading for him. And they're also showing that maybe they gave a few too many starts to Marty Brodeur the year before. But, like we both said, I've really enjoyed watching Schneider the past few years.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, he's a professional athlete. These guys are in great shape. They dedicate their whole lives to hockey. They train hard in the summer. They eat well. And it's not like he's had a lot of miles on him in his career. It's not like he's, 36-year-old goaltender who's had 60-plus starts in 15 consecutive years. He's relatively new to the starter's job, and he doesn't have a lot of mileage on him. And again, he's a professional athlete. These guys take pride in their job. And I don't understand why people think if a goalie does well in 45 games, he won't do well in, 60 games. It just doesn't make sense to me. If you do the math, it's a couple extra games a month. That's really not that big of a deal.
You've watched a lot of the Metropolitan Division this year. How good have the New York Rangers looked in your eyes?
Oh, they've been incredible. It really is incredible when you think that Henrik Lundqvist missed a good portion of the season, and here they are still quite possibly going to lead the league in points and win the President's Trophy. They're so fast. That's the thing that I take away from them. They have so many forwards that can get up and down the ice. They stretch the defense. They're really tough to defend because you have to kind of give them space and so they don't blow by you. And by doing that, you obviously give them time and space, and then they can create offense. And if you keep a tight gap to them and you get caught flat-footed, they can just blow your doors off. So they're a really steady team. They have good defense, good forward group. And obviously with Lundqvist and even Cam Talbot in goal, they have a chance to win every night regardless of who's starting.
Bob McKenzie released a GM's poll that he took around the league, a coach's poll around the league, and the runaway winner for the Hart Trophy was Carey Price. Do you see Carey as the odds-on favorite for the Hart Trophy? Do you think Alex Ovechkin has a chance to usurp him? Who else do you see as candidates for most valuable player?
I think it's Price's to lose. I guess with this much time left in the season, it's his now. The Habs, if you look at the underlying metrics, they're even just shots. They get a shot a lot of the time, more often than you'd see from most top teams. And Carey Price is just, he's always there to make the big save. He keeps them in every single game. And they're not really a high-scoring team either, so they need him to shut the door, and he gives them a chance to win every night. And I know goaltenders don't usually win MVP or even discuss for it, but I really do think it's Price's this year. Ovechkin's had a great year. Vina's had a great year. There's some other guys who have had great years as well. But when all is said and done, I think it's prices.
It's the Hockey Guys podcast. Your host, Hunter Crowther, with our guest, Todd Cordell of Hockey Buzz. Todd, I'll ask you a few more NHL questions. Right now in the Eastern Conference, we're seeing an interesting situation where Pittsburgh has been struggling and falling in the standings. And now, in the wild card, we've got Pittsburgh and Detroit holding the top two positions, while Ottawa is only 2 points behind both of those teams. Meanwhile, Boston is ahead of Detroit for third in the Atlantic. How do you see this playing out? And of the four teams in Boston, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Ottawa, who do you see falling out of that group and not making playoffs?
If I had to say it right now, I'd say Boston. I know they've won 5 in a row, and they've been pretty good of late, but to me, they have the toughest schedule. They still play in Washington, in Florida, and then in Tampa Bay. And Boston's a big reason that Florida's out of the playoffs right now, so you can bet they'll be looking to get revenge and maybe try and hurt their playoff hopes. Pittsburgh, for all the stuff that's gone on of late, I really do believe injuries are as big a part of it as anything. And Evgeny Malkin's back now. Sidney Crosby's in the lineup. So they're going to have a chance to win every night. And they still play the Buffalo Sabres on the last game of the year, which could very well be the difference in them getting in or not. So I think they'll hold on to their spot. Detroit's an interesting team because they only have 3 wins in the last 10, and they've been struggling. But they still play Carolina twice. So I could kind of see them using those games to get their game back in order and get ready for the playoffs. So, like I said, if I had to say it right now, I think it comes down to Boston and Ottawa. Boston would hold the tiebreaker, so realistically Ottawa probably has to win all three and have Boston lose one or two. And it's a crazy race if you think about it, with four teams within 2 points with this little time left. But I'm kind of pulling for Ottawa to make the playoffs, but right now it's not looking too great. That loss to the Leafs last night really hurt them.
Yeah, I guess the Leafs figured if they're not going to make the playoffs, nobody from Ontario should make the playoffs. My last question for you, and then we're going to let you go. The Western Conference right now looks just as hectic as the East, and the Kings and the Jets are battling for that final position in the wild card in the West, as it looks like Minnesota has locked down that first spot. How do you see it playing out between L.A. and Winnipeg? Are the Jets able to gain some ground without Dustin Byfuglien, or because of that suspension and because of the injuries they've had, it'll be the Kings that end up in the postseason?
I actually think both teams are going to make it. I think the Kings will steal that spot from Calgary, the third divisional spot. They have a game in hand and only 1 point back. And the Kings have been playing really good hockey of late, and they still play the Oilers and the Flames, which is a good chance to pass them. So I think the Kings are going to grab that final Pacific Division spot. So to me, it comes down to Calgary or Winnipeg. The Byfuglien suspension, it hurts them, but they're not a team that relies on just one guy. They still have plenty of talented forwards up front, and they have Tobias Enstrom, Tyler Myers, and some good defensemen who can chip in offensively as well. So though it does hurt, I think they'll be okay without him. It looks like it might come down to the final games next Saturday night. Winnipeg plays, they host Calgary. And it could very well come down to that game to decide who gets in. And I wouldn't bet against Winnipeg at home.
I think it'd be funny if the math finally caught up to the Calgary Flames on the last game of the season and they finally missed the playoffs. I think that there would be nothing crueler and more ironic in the hockey world than that, but hey, you can only hope. Todd, any last thoughts from you? I always ask you about hockey. How are you doing, though? Like, how are you, Todd?
I'm doing fantastic. The OHL playoffs are here, so that takes up a good amount of my time, and the draft guide for Hockey Prospect comes out in a couple months, so going to have some work to do on that, but the weather's nice. It's barbecue weather again. Baseball's back. Life's good.
Are you going to be watching from the press box between Barrie and North Bay?
Yeah, I'll be at every home game that series for Barrie.
Awesome. I hope you have fun, and I hope that you and I cross paths over the course of the summer and maybe catch a few Blue Jays games in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Take care, man.
Awesome. That is Todd Cordell of Hockey Buzz. You can follow him on Twitter at Todd Cordell. You know, I always try to pump the tires of our guests, but Todd really is one of the smarter, younger minds in hockey. He's done a ton of scouting over the years. Essentially, since he's been the age to play in the OHL, he's covered the OHL with expert analysis and has really, you know, made a voice for, made a name for himself in the hockey blogosphere. So I'm happy for Todd. And we're happy to have him on to talk a little hockey. Got 4 minutes left in the show. A few thoughts about tonight's games. Another game that's on tonight is between Carolina and Buffalo. The tank off, you could say. A lot's been made about tanking and the idea that this is bad for the league. And I hope people understand that the only reason why so much has been made about teams trying to lose and teams trying to get worse so they can have a better draft position is because this draft is different. This isn't Taylor Tyler. This isn't a dopey, skinny Ryan Nugent Hopkins who's got a lot of raw talent. This is Connor McDavid, who's what everyone's calling the next Sidney Crosby. And Jack Eichel, who any given year would be the first overall pick. And seems like a pretty good silver. I guess Eichel should get used to being second silver. U.S. hockey. That was lame. Sorry, folks. That was a bad joke. You know what else is a joke? Is Carolina and Buffalo. God, that's a bad hockey game. Like I was saying, everyone's making a big deal about tanking, but when you have an opportunity to get two phenoms like this, and you have a chance to improve your franchise greatly, how can you not do it? How can you be a self-respecting sports fan and figure, you know what, we're going to suck this year anyway, we're not going to make the playoffs. Might as well do whatever we can to get a generational talent. And yeah, it sucks for players and coaches. Sucks for fans, too. As much as you're selling hope, just sucks. But I'll take a year of being crap if it means I can have the next franchise player. So I don't hold any ill will against teams that are trying to tank. Not at all. Under 2 minutes left to go. You know, tonight I think the Jets are going to have a shot against the Wild. I think they're going to come in and realize what's at stake and hopefully take it. Because we still want to see the Jets do well. We still want to see them in the postseason. But unless they make up some ground, it's not going to happen. You know, the other games that are on tonight, Columbus and the Rangers. I feel so bad for Columbus. If they weren't savaged by injuries all year, they'd have a legitimate shot of making the playoffs. Not only that, I'd say they'd already be in the playoffs. But no, they have to deal with injuries all year, and it ends up burning them. Meanwhile, at 10:30, it's San Jose-Dallas. Two teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. Dallas still have questions on their blue line. Had to deal with Tyler Seguin's injury earlier. Jamie Benn still having a terrific year. Might watch that before I go to bed. And the Sharks are the Sharks, man. They're going to fire everyone at the end of the season. They're going to place all the blame on their leadership core. And then in about 5 years, they're going to realize that Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton were the greatest things to ever happen to their franchise. And it'll be too late. Anyway, we're almost off. It's been the Hockey Guys podcast. Hunter Crowther's sons, Chris Shannon. Check out thehockeyguys.net for future content. We'll have another show this Thursday. Take it easy, folks. We'll beat the Tigers. We'll beat the A's so bad. Gonna make Billy blue. Why?
body you want. Let's